everyone else sees it the same as you. But to me, Sassaf is much too thick. Didn't allow me to develop myself.
Morning. Normally I say in the absence of... Normally one says in the absence of Yankee, but today you can say in the presence of Yankee. Karen Halachas of Chofetz Chaim, Daily Companion. Meschus Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chela, Sof Shor Chule Yisrael.
Amen.
So Karen, we were on Sunday talking about family matters. So, contrary to public belief, one is not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about his or her relatives, including one's spouse. The Chofetz Chaim says a lot of people stumble into this type of Lashon Hara by rationalizing that most negative talk about family members is not intended to malign, but to voice disapproval. This, of course, is not permitted by Halacha. When a relative commits a wrong, one has no right to put the issue on the table for open discussion. Of course, there are times when issues may be discussed later LS for a constructive purpose, as when a sibling has done something wrong and this has to be reported to a parent. However, cautions the Chofetz Chaim, even in such cases, all seven conditions of Toeles must be met. And the seven conditions are, Yankee?
The usual ones. It must be true. You must have seen it yourself. You're not allowed to exaggerate. You must mean it, the Toeles, and not to cause somebody any harm. And the other three, whatever they are.
If you could bring the same result without speaking, Lashon Hara, you should follow that option. And you can't allow the information to result in a bigger loss than Halacha allows.
Yeah.
These seven don't apply to Shidduchim. Of course, come as elsewhere. For Shidduchim, you take two out. One is thinking the matter through and make sure wrong has been committed. And other, you can't approach the wrongdoer and tell him to rectify his behavior. So, carrying on. One of the conditions is that the speaker bears no ill will towards the subject and is not recounting the Lashon Hara to denigrate him. Unfortunately, at times, this is the motivation of children when they inform their parents of misdeeds of their siblings. This type of Lashon Hara can be extremely damaging to family unity, and the many roadblocks erected by Halacha help us to proceed with caution as we approach this dangerous area. A little bit more. It's forbidden to speak derogatorily not only about spouses, whatever, it's also about children. While adults understand that children are children and their negative behavior is often excused as natural immaturity, if the information casts this particular child in a bad light, it should not be spoken or listened to. The Chofetz Chaim stresses that it is also forbidden to mention something about a child which is not derogatory, but is harmful. The example is when somebody mentions something about a child in the presence of his foster parents. While the information is not derogatory and may describe behavior which is common with children, it may make the foster parents unwilling to care for this child. Chofetz Chaim notes that sometimes children can be punished excessively by their natural parents because of information about their behavior which angered the parent. Therefore, one should exercise caution before relating any such information. Tomorrow, Yankee immediately meets the Shem will be carrying on.
Start your day the Toway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Taf Aleph Iyar. 36th day of the Omer, 29th of May, Rabbi Shaul Rosenblatt, Shlita, Chokas Hagoy. This week's Torah is sponsored jointly by family Wiedenfeld, Leonishmas, Rabbi Ephraim Fischel, Ben Rabbi Yoel, Aryeh Zechon of Rochel, Fischel, Dictator, Antwerp, whose Yard site is today, and also by family Blachman, the Chavetz Simchas of our mitzvah of Aryeh Fischer, Neriyot of mitzvah's last Shabbos. He also Shisko Herobus, Kin of Rab Nachas, Sunu Chol Yatzei Chalot to him. ולזכות השבועים והחיולים והמלחמות שאחסו לבצעים לשלום במהירו.
אמן, אמן. Ready to go? I was just looking at myself in that picture. I look way too young in that picture. I need an updated version, sadly. So I don't know if you guys are aware of Christian festivals, but there is a Christian festival called Pentecost, also known as Whitsun. And fascinatingly, it's the seventh Sunday after Easter. So 7 weeks. 7 weeks after Easter, they have a festival called Pentecost. And the seventh Sunday after Easter, interestingly, which I guess maybe they were tzedokim, these Christians, you know, Memachalas HaShabbos, you count 7 weeks. And I just want to read to you from what's it called? You want to really rub it in my face, that young guy, look over there. So this is from the internet. In many parts of Europe, it is customary to deck the churches at Whitsun with wreaths and bunches of flowers. In Catholic districts in Germany, even private dwellings are adorned with green twigs on the occasion. In Italy, rose leaves are scattered from the ceilings of churches during the services. Similarly, in Russia, it was customary to carry flowers and green twigs on Whitsun, etc., etc., etc. And it says all of this appears to be Christian transformation of the ancient Roman festival of Rosalia, celebrated that month. The point is that it does seem that not only us, but the Goyim deck their churches with flowers and with greenery on their festival as well. And the question becomes, is this potentially what we do, Chukas HaGoy? Now, I'm not just making this up myself. As you may well know, the Gra and many others were very much against the idea of having flowers and greenery in our shuls on Shavuos. And felt that it was Chukas HaGoy in order to do that. Now, I'll get to the details of kind of what the heter is for us to do. Obviously, we do it. And obviously, you do it, see it done all over Klal Yisrael. But there have been many who questioned it. The Hashulchan, another one, who not just questioned it, but wanted to be mevatel the minhag entirely. But I want to talk about kind of Chukas HaGoy and what's behind it. You know, sadly, in our history, we have been known as Jews to want to copy the Goyim, to want to be like the Goyim. One of the first places you find it is in a king. You know, in Shmuel, in Shmuel Aleph, we asked for a king, and we said, we want a king, kachol agoyim. We want a king like all the goyim. There is some sort of reason, I don't know why, some sort of sense within us Jews, some sort of yetzahara, some sort of tiber in us, to want to copy what the goyim do and be like them. So maybe it's some inferiority complex, I don't know. And hence there is an issue of Chukas HaGoy kind of to counter that. Another issue and challenge. There's so many issues that have come up in Jewish history with regards to this. Getting married in a shul. Getting married in a shul is very hard to justify as being anything other than Chukas HaGoy, as anything other than copying what the Goyim do. The Goyim get married in churches. I quite recently, actually, I have a supporter of mine who is married out, and his daughter is not Jewish as a result, and she was marrying another non-Jewish guy, and he asked me, could I perform the wedding? Interesting question. Never been asked to do that one before. I thought she was marrying a Jewish guy, or maybe she was Jewish. I realized actually it's two non-Jews. I guess it's not out of the question. But I said to him, why don't you get your local vicar to do it? Why don't you get your local... What are you going to do with me? He said, no, he can't do it. And I don't know if you know this. It's the first time I learned this. That it is not allowed. It's against the laws of the Church of England to get married outside of a church. You can only get married in a church. In the Church of England. And now, all of a sudden, we Jews who always get married outside and under the stars... are getting married in shuls. It's a bit like, where'd that come from? Other than from the fact that we want to be like them. And that question has been a question amongst the poskim kind of previous generations. I remember when I got married to my late wife, I desperately didn't want to get married in a shul because of this. But, you know, needs must sometimes, and you've got to keep your wife happy, you've got to keep the family happy. You know, sometimes you've got to let go of your own little chumras and your own little shtick for shalom bayis. If it was an issa, clear and black and white issa that everyone held by, obviously. But it's not. But there are certainly issues in getting married in a shul. It's not a black and white thing that it's absolutely fine and nobody thinks it's a problem. But I want to take a look at the issue itself for a moment and then kind of relate it back to some specific questions and some specific places where there might be a problem with Chukas HaGoy or not. And really, whilst there are the Shitas, the Ikka Deya that we kind of go by, because there are more Paskins like him, is the Maharik, is a particular tshuva of the Maharik, where he talks about these inyanim. And what he's talking about is, he was asked the Shaila about clothes, a doctor. Doctors, I guess in the Middle Ages, used to wear a particular type of garment to show themselves as doctors. Everyone knows they're a doctor. And Jews wanted to wear those garments to be doctors. That's what you wear if you're a doctor. Then everybody knows you're a doctor and you have credibility as a doctor, you wear those garments. And the Maharik was asked this question. And he has quite an extensive tshuva on it. And like I say, from that tshuva comes sort of certainly Ashkenazi perspective, halachic perspective on Chukas HaGoy. You get the sense, though, and sometimes you have to read between the lines in these tshuvas. It's not a massively long tshuva. It's not a short tshuva either. I just noticed, it jumps out the page at you. The Maharik says, I've never seen this in another tshuva, 15 times he says the word pshita in that tshuva. I counted them. Pshita. You get the feeling, rightly or wrongly, he's not here to ask, that he really didn't want to answer it. He was like, what are you asking me such a question for? Like obvious. They're doing it to be doctors, not doing it to be like the goyim. That's what a doctor was. Why are you bringing up this question? Now, he dealt with it halachically, and thank God he did, because it gives us the source for all of our halachas. It reminds me of a time when my Rebbe, my Rosh Hashiva of North Weinberg, who was like one of the founders of the Kiddur movement, we asked him once the famous question, the classical modern question of, you know, if you're in outreach, can you invite somebody to your home on Shabbos if you know he's going to drive? He's going to drive there, can you invite him? Didn't Poskim deal with that question, but my Rosh Hashiva just, when we asked him the question, he was very puzzled and almost upset. He was like, what are you asking that question for? What a ridiculous question. You bring this guy to your home because you're trying to macabre him, you're trying to save his life spiritually, and you're worried about the fact that he's driving there. He's going to drive to the pub instead if he doesn't drive to you. I mean, to him, it was just like ridiculous to ask such a question. I get the feeling in the Maharik, something similar. But nevertheless, let's see what he says and kind of how he responds to it. So the Maharik famously split Chukas HaGoy into two factors. There are two ways that you can be over on Chukas HaGoy, and this is kind of what it boils down to, is that not all things that Goyim do are Goyish. Let's put it that way. There are some things they do that's sensible. Some things they do that just, there's obviously good reason to do it. And so, just the fact that non-Jews do it is not enough to make it Chukas HaGoy.
Are they copying us or not?
Oh yes, sometimes they copy us. There is a Shaila, by the way. There is a Shaila, and you're going to see this might be Nogeya to the flowers in Shul on Shavuos, because the obvious question of flowers in Shul on Shavuos is which came first, the chicken or the egg? Are they copying us, or are we copying them? You know, now it does seem that the first source for flowers in Shul on Shavuos seems to be the Maharil. The Maharil was the 1400s. But it seems like the Christian custom was around quite significantly before the Maharil. So I don't know who's copying who, but there are those that would say that even if we came first, if the non-Jews are doing it, it might not be Chukas HaGoy, but minimally it's an inappropriate thing. There is there's a Rashi in Parsha Shoftim that talks about a Matseva. And he says that it talks about kind of why the Avos set up Matzevos, and yes, it's an Issa D'Oraisa to do a Matzeva. And Rashi says that even though Matzevos were beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the Avos did them, once the Avdei Avodah Zara got a hold of Matzevos and started doing them themselves, now they became an Issa, now they became a problem. So the fact that we're doing it first doesn't necessarily help when it comes to Chukas HaGoy, but that's a much kind of broader and more kind of nuanced question. So, the two things you're not allowed to do in Chukas HaGoy is, number one, what it says in the tin, Chukas HaGoy. What's a chayk? A chayk is a thing b'li tam, you know, as Rashi says in Parshas Chukas. It's something that the seichel doesn't understand what it's about. It's a ritual, ritualistic religious action. That's what a chayk is. So there has to be some element of ritual in it. So if, for example, the Christians or the whoever else it is, you know, the Hindus suddenly decided that part of their religion is to go on a diet and get healthy, and that becomes a significant part of their religion, that wouldn't become a problem with Chukas HaGoy, thank God. Well, the Hindus diet, so you can't diet because it's Chukas HaGoy. They're not dieting as a ritual. They're dieting as something that makes sense, as something that is a sensible, wise thing to do. So you have to be able to distinguish between those two things. And really that's why the Maharik said that these garments of the doctors are not ritual. It's not pagan religious ritual. They were things that doctors wore to identify themselves as doctors. And there's common sense and logic in that, and therefore it's not a chayk. So that's the first thing that the Maharik says on that. And he says the second element of Chukas HaGoy is something that has bad midas associated with it. There's a really two of the most fundamental sources on Chukas HaGoy, even though you've got Gemaras in various places, Gemara about the death penalty, giving Sayif, that the Goyim used to use the sword to give Sayif, and therefore it can't do it because the Goyim did it. There's another Gemara, I forgot where it is, but there's another Gemara about Sofim Al Malachim, that you were allowed to, they used to burn all of the goods, the belongings of a king after he died, in order to, and the reason was because no one else should use them. You know, as the king, they're like Kodesh Kedoshim. Someone else can't use the king's bed. That was the king's bed. You can't sleep in it now. You're a hedjait. It's a begam to the melech even after he's died. The Gemara says you're allowed to do that. Even though it's l'chayra chukas agoy, it was something that they did. They did bekvias. It was absolute. There was no way around. It was a law almost. They had to do that. The Gemara says you're allowed to do it. And again, the Maharik would say, obviously, because that is not a chayk b'litam. There's a good reason for it. There's sense in it. There's a logic behind it. There's a logic behind it. Even though the non-Jews do it, doesn't necessarily mean it's chukas agoy. But there's a sifra and a sifri, which are the most fundamental sources. And the sifra talks about buildings, buildings, or various other rituals that the non-Jews do that you're not allowed to do. And the sifri talks more about garments. And I've never seen anybody say this, but it seems to me that might be the two sources of the Maharik. The sifra is rituals, talking about rituals, and the sifri is talking about garments. And the Maharik himself says that it's garments that are associated with pritzis, garments that are associated with gaiva. These were red garments, he says, that princes wore als gaiva, and that's bad midas. And we Jews do not want to get involved in anything that has an underlying undercurrent of bad midas that the non-Jews do. I'm going to talk about some practical applications of this. But there might be a preacher's thing, you know, whatever. Anything that is not a Jewish midah, that is an undercurrent in this action that the non-Jews do, that's going to be chukas agoy. So you have to be able to look at different factors in each kind of circumstance and decide, well, which is which. Just as an interesting aside, the Sifra and the Sifri quote different psukim. The Sifra, I'm getting mixed up, I hope I'm saying this right, I think it's the Sifra, quotes V'chukesem lo'seilechu, which is the standard pasuk for Chukas HaGoy. But the Sifri quotes the pasuk of Pentinake Shacharehem, lest you will be ensnared after them. And I have a feeling, have a sense that perhaps those two psukim are these two things of the Maharik. The chukai seyem lo se lechu is what it says. Chuk, chukim, things that have no reason. And pentinake shacharehem are these things that have bad values associated with them. You don't want to be drawn after them. You don't want to be sucked after bad values. So let's talk about a few things. What I'd like to do is to make this practical, and I'll come to kind of Shavuos at the end. We'll save Shavuos for the end. But let's talk about some practical examples, whether these are chukas agoy or whether they are not. Now, remembering the Maharik's two considerations, bear that in mind, let's look at some things. So the first thing is, let's start with an easy one. Can a Jew have a Christmas tree? What would you say? Okay, that's an easy one for you guys. I thought so. Why? What's the problem with a Christmas tree? Pardon? It's a chayk b'lay tam.
Most goyim don't know why you do it.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. I think all goyim don't know why you do it. Go and ask them, why do you have a Christmas tree? Good luck getting an answer to that one. It's absolutely a chayk. It's something that they do, and there's no reason, no rhyme, no reason, no nothing for it. Probably there was something, who knows, way back when.
Celebrating
Well, let's say you weren't celebrating Christmas. You just like to have a Christmas tree. There are lots of reasons, you're right, not to have a Christmas tree. Don't get me wrong. But I just want to say, als the inyan of chukas agoy, it is clearly chukas agoy. It's clearly, you can say all sorts of things like, oh, that's not appropriate, and you don't want to get, I want to bring a halachic thing. The halachic reason is chukas agoy. That's the underlying, fundamental halachic factor behind this. And therefore, it's clearly an Isidiraisa. It's not just pasnished. It's not just something we Jews don't do. It's this Isidiraisa to do it.
Do some say that the idea of giving Hanukkah presents?
Hanukkah presents is another one that is a consideration, absolutely. I'll put Hanukkah presents in my list at the end. I have a list at the end of about four or five things, and Shavuos is one of them, of things that the origin is L'chayra in the Goyish ritual. But have become Jewish now, and I'll let me come to those things. But let me talk about some more general things first. Yes, because of the Christmas tree. Yeah, you see, now I think that's a mistake. I know the Poskim talk about that. Pardon? Yeah, I know the Poskim talk about that. But I'm not saying it's a halachic mistake. I'd say it's a mistake in understanding where it came from with the Goyim. We are how far are we from Christmas? We're 5 months from Christmas. Which goyim have Christmas trees nowadays? Go into a home and find me a Christmas tree. I think maybe you weren't here at the beginning. I quoted from Wikipedia that in Pentecost, which is the festival right now for non-Jews, they decorate their churches with flowers and with branches and things. That's where the issue is. So it is from that, but it's not the Christmas tree. I think that's just a mistaken association for these great rabbis of ours who, thank God, didn't know about Pentecost or any of that nonsense. And so they thought, oh, the Christmas tree is what they do know. So what about days of the week? Monday. Where does the word Monday come from?
Moon,
yeah? Where does Sunday come from? The sun. Where does Wednesday come from? Woden's day. Woden was an Avodah Zarah of the Norse. He was a Norse god. So now how can we call the days of the week by the names that the Goyim give that is associated with Avodah Zarah? An association with Avodah Zarah over here.
I'll say the name. Friday is Freya.
Thor, yeah, they all. Every single one of them. Saturday, Saturn. Every single day of the week is named after Avodah Zarah.
How far do you take it?
How far do you take it? Exactly. How far does this go? So I think, again, coming back to the Maharik, Jewish months. Well, that doesn't help you days of the week, though. Oh, yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. There is some association of even Jewish months with the... Okay, let's not get into that one. That's a bit more less clear in history and the historical evidence behind that. The days of the week is very clear. There's no doubt about it. So I think coming back to the Maharik again, it's not a chayk. It's not a chayk. You need a name for the days of the week. It's not part of their ritual worship, even though it has an association with Avodah Zarah, it's not a chayk in the Avodah Zarah, and the only things that are not allowed is chukim in Avodah Zarah. Now you've got another problem with the days of the week potentially, and that is there's an issa to say the name of an idol. You can't say the name of an idol unless you have good cause to do so. Now you might say, well, the days of the week is good cause to do so. Maybe not. I would say on that you know, it's not the name of an idol. Maybe it came from the name of an idol. When I say Saturday, I'm not saying the name of an idol, I'm saying the name of a day of the week. The fact that it has an association with an idol is, you know, that's a separate point. But there's no idol called Saturday. You know, so I'm not saying the name of an idol when I do so. That's my thought on it. You're allowed to say the sun. You know, the sun. The sun's an idol. It was an idol to many people. How can I say, oh, the sun's shining today? It's when things become part of the normal discussion and lose their association with the idol worship, then potentially there is a hetero doing that. But I want to get through a few more things. What about a tuxedo? Wearing a tuxedo to a wedding. It's black tie wedding and they want you to wear a tuxedo. Goyish a thing. But what would you say?
Go and wear jeans,
that's true. Yes, absolutely. We'll talk about jeans in a minute.
Is there anything religious about a tuxedo?
There's nothing religious about a tuxedo, number one. And lechaira, you might want to make an argument for this. It's not associated with bad midas. It's not associated with gaiva. I mean, it's nuanced, that one. But lechaira, since it's not associated with gaiva and it's not associated with anything pagan ritual, it's okay. It's okay to do. Similarly, a gown and a hat at a graduation. If there's a graduation, again, even though it's something the goyim do, not all the goyim do is goyish. That's remember that in your head. Remember that phrase in your head. Now, what about jeans? But I'm going to specifically take a step further and say, what about ripped jeans? Now, this is probably very negaya to you guys. You know, when you go on holiday, you know, you drag it out of the closet. It's a mishigas. Yeah, ridiculous the things that these people wear nowadays.
Levi Strauss was Jewish.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so there's a Jewish background to it. And I would put all these things into one category. Ripped jeans, tongue rings. And if any of you kind of don't look in your mouths, but nose rings. You know, all these things, to me, now you would say, firstly, you might just say straight away, well, it's not clearly not avodah zarah, and it's not bad midas, but to me, I would feel like those are associated with bad midas. There is a subculture in the society of preachers, and these are part of that subculture in my mind. The people wear ripped jeans, and they want to show their legs, and it's, to me, there is an inherent preachers in it, and I would feel that ripped jeans are chukas agoy. And I would potentially even say tongue rings and nose rings, maybe. Pardon? Yeah, I remember I said the fact that we got there first doesn't mean it's not a problem still. That doesn't solve chukas agoy, the fact that we did it first. It's,
how come smoking is not chukas agoy?
Again, it's the same type of thing. It's not avodah zarah. They don't think they smoke in the church, you know. And it's also not bad midas. It's not a problem.
It's not religious.
It's not religious, and it's not bad midas.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. That's not bad midas. That's just common sense. Goes against common sense. Pardon? Well, a preacher is a bad midah. There might be other bad midas as well. The Maharik talks about the garments that are gaiva dikka garments. So if you can associate a bad midah with this, doesn't have to be preacher or gaiva. Come up with another bad midah. You know, that's esamid deraisa. Absolutely, esamid deraisa, 100%. Okay, how about Halloween? Halloween. So yes, Halloween is absolutely a pagan festival. Halloween is black and white in my mind. Black and white. You put a pumpkin outside your house on Halloween, you're over on Issur D'oraisa. I think there's no doubt about that whatsoever. The problem becomes when people are knocking on your door trick or treating, you know, and they had that this year, and I was like, I'm really sorry, I can't give you anything. I felt badly because they come to the Jewish house and you know, all the goyim give them, and the Jew says, no, sorry, get lost. You know, so I was I'm nice to them and friendly with them, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm just not able to give, you know, based on my religion, but it was challenging to do that. But I think potentially it's an Issur D'oraisa to give to trick-or-treaters on Halloween. What about poppies? Wearing a poppy? Pardon?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Okay, good question. There we go. The good old Maharik. Pshita! But yeah, and I think you're right.
Just to remember the
yes, water, yes, yeah. Exactly. It's not a chayk b'leitam. There's a very good reason for it. That it's in memory of the people who died in the wars. They were the poppy because the fields in the war were poppies. Nothing to do with the Avodah Zarah. And it's actually, not only is it not bad midas, it's good midas. They're doing it for the reason of good midas. To me, black and white, there's no shemetz possibility that a poppy could be a chukas agoy. I think it's pretty clear. Pretty clear and pretty obvious. And hence, I'm a big fan of poppies. You will see me wearing my poppy proudly that time of year, especially as my father was a veteran and landed on D-Day and liberated Bergen-Belsen. I have a strong association about Kaz Taiv, the fact that my father lived through those 9 months, and the poppy is, you know, significant to me as a result. Let's see. We haven't got much time left, and I do want to get to... let's say one or two more. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in America. So again, you would say the same as the poppy. Now, Rav Moshe talked about Thanksgiving, and while he had his reservations about it, at the end of the day, he said it's mutter. And again, for this reason, it's not a Christian festival. It has no associations with Christianity. But even if it did, you would say it's got a time, it's got a reason. So it might not even be a problem if it did. And also, again, it's good midas, not bad midas. And therefore, no problem for Thanksgiving, the chukas are going. Now, what about Valentine's Day? What would you say about that? Now, the reason I bring that one up is because Valentine's Day is cute. Because a double whammy. It might be too esoteric for Valentine's Day. Because A, it's got an association with the Avodah Zarah, and B, it's bad midas. You get both in the same thing. You get two for the price of one with Valentine's Day.
St. Valentine's,
yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, it's Christian, it's pagan, it's all sorts of stuff. Now, here's a really interesting one for you guys.
Can you have a problem with your wife?
I don't know. I don't think so. Good excuse. I got you off the hook, eh? If your wife wants you to take her out for dinner on Valentine's Day, you say, no, it's us. I'm sorry, darling. I can't do it. I'd love to.
But I'll take you tomorrow.
Okay. Very good. One more thing I'm going to add in here, because this is a very Nagaya one. What about a birthday cake? I don't want to cause problems over here. But so firstly, the cake itself, if you look kind of historically, is not really a problem. Firstly, because it's got a tan. Secondly, it has a tan. It's something nice for the birthday. It's something flavoursome, something tasty to have on the birthday. There's a tan to it. But the candles are a big problem. And the candles are a big issue. Because if you, again, you look up the origins of candles on a birthday cake, most people believe that they are not Christian, they are pagan, even worse. They come from pagan associations. They used to light candles on cakes in the temple to Mars, I think it was, or the moon, to represent the shining of the moon. And it's, I would stay away from candles if I were you. You know, I wouldn't, like, grab the cake and throw it in the bin if you see some of the candles, but I think there's very, very strong reason to have an issue with candles.
Is that
on...
a chumrah, would you say?
I think it's... look, since it's not... I don't know, I think it's an issa. Yeah, I think it's more than the chumrah.
Just avoid it.
I think it's more than the chumrah. I would avoid it. Just to finish off, I realize time is up, apologies. Four things I would say, or five. You mentioned another one. I can't remember what it was. That's right. Hanukkah gelt, canonicals. You know, the things that in the United Synagogue, the rabbi. I was about to say the priests were. The rabbis were in the United Synagogue. Shtisel challah is a big issue and a big question. Wedding in shuls and decorating the shul on Shavuos. They all fall into the same category in my mind of things that l'chayra do come from the goyim, most likely. But Jews do them nowadays. They are accepted customs. They are accepted practice. So the first thing I would say on this is we have a principle, and you see it used in halacha in a lot of places. Im einem neviim, b'nei neviim heim. There's a concept in the Gemara, minhag mevatel halacha. The minhag has a real power. Minhag has the power to even override halacha. The first tshuva of the Tshuvas Hadeshin talks about this with regards to davening after shkia. And so we say, if the Jewish people are doing it, we assume the Jewish people know what they're doing. Now, there's a logic in that as well. If it's done, that means that over centuries, many, many rabbis and many Talmidei Chachamim have kind of looked at this minhag and not said anything about it. And even though you hear about people that have, but the vast majority have accepted it. And therefore we assume that even though we don't understand why it doesn't look wrong to us, we assume that it's okay. There is that concept in halacha. Rav Moshe says about the Shavuos, about the flowers on Shavuos, that you're not doing. There's a reason for doing it. You're doing it because of the. Nidon al elanos in that. Atzeres is Rosh Hashanah, is the day that the trees are judged. Peres ha'ilan is judged, or Har Sinai came to bloom. We've got a reason for doing it. A reason for doing it, though, that is a little challenging answer because. As I said earlier, it could well be that even if we were doing it first, if they're doing it, they're doing it, and it's a problem to do it. So even if you've got a reason to do it, it doesn't help. But I would say, here's what my thought on this, and just finish with a thought. I'm not prosecuting halacha for you over here, or not saying what you should be doing. But I would say my sense is that if something has become, maybe it was wrong in the first place. Maybe we shouldn't have started decorating our shuls with flowers and things. Maybe we shouldn't have started doing shdissel challahs because we're being like the goyim. Maybe we shouldn't have started giving Hanukkah gelt because we're following Christmas. But it's become Jewish now. It's become something that Jews do. And because Jews do it, so it's a valid Jewish custom, it's not chukas goyim anymore. It's just a suggestion for you. It's a challenging issue. Not black and white, and that I'll kind of leave you that thought. I don't know, there's a question or point.
Rabbanim say that you should not give Hanukkah presents if it's because it's the season.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. These are things that aren't. They're not black and white. These things. Yes. Presents. Maybe that. Maybe that's why we do gelt instead of presents to kind of make a step away from it. But I think in my mind, you know, I would say it's a chumrah. You want a chumrah of not giving Hanukkah gelt. You know, there's something in it. It's not a crazy chumrah. But in, you know, it's your grandkids come along. Well, I'm sorry, I don't give Hanukkah gelt. I think it's a problem. Say again. The dreidel is no problem. Yeah, I don't think there's a dreidel. You can do the dreidel, no problem. Okay, so that's my kind of thoughts on it. So I don't have an absolute, but these things are not necessarily absolute. Pardon? Turkey on Christmas. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. They're already.
Sorry, the gelt is not a goyish as well. They don't give a present.
Yeah, I know. So you've kind of found a way around it, you know.
The presence is a problem.
Yeah, okay, right. You could twist your thumb and say it's a little bit different. But I think the origin of why do you want to give gelt? Where's that coming from? On Hanukkah. It's l'chayre, it's coming from a desire to be like the goyim, you know. And so to me, it's like, I don't know, you can do what you want with it, but time's up, apologies. I wish you all a good Wednesday.
Very good.